You're listening to a podcast from the University of Cambridge. It was called The World's Greatest Illusion. A magician makes a piece of rope stand rigid and then, to the astonishment of the gathering crowd, asks a small boy to climb it. The Indian rope trick intrigued observers from the West for centuries. Now, as the world's economic leaders navigate their journey out of global recession, eyes are being focused on the Indian economic miracle. But this time, it's not an illusion. The country is poised to become the third largest economy in the world by 2030. Multinational companies are choosing India for innovation and research, and there's been a rapid skilling of a vast rural workforce. At Judge Business School, part of the University of Cambridge, researchers at the Centre for India and Global Business are working closely with many Indian companies to see how their know-how can be harnessed. David Prest reports.
Surrounded by high-tech, high-rise offices, goats are still herded through the streets and overloaded handcarts deliver from shop to shop. This is the traditional bustle of the Indian economy. But despite the apparent chaos, it's that economy with extraordinary growth rates touching 9% per annum that has had world leaders looking on enviously. That's all because when the world financial crisis hit in 2008, India was ready. Jaideep Prabhu is Professor of Indian Business and Enterprise at Judge Business School.
The period of the 90s and the 2000s have made the Indian business community very resilient to challenges. So, you know, if you keep in mind that the economy was relatively closed prior to 91 and then opened up pretty dramatically, they've had to face that shock, which in a sense is greater than the shock of a recession. So if you can handle that kind of competition and those kinds of tough times, I think they're in a good position to be able to deal with the challenges of this current global recession.
There's also the argument that perhaps the Indian economy is used to shocks like this. It's used to dealing with monsoon, with the difficulties that drought often brings. Yeah.
I think that's a strength of Indian business thinking and the Indian economy. The Indian mindset, I would say broadly, is that people in India are used to shocks and they take them in their stride. One might argue that in the past, the response was a passive one. I think increasingly the response is a creative and active one.
But growth is something which is vital to the continued development of a country where expectation and aspiration levels are high. That's according to Navi Raju, the executive director of the Centre for India and Global Business at Judge Business School.
You know, India, it's a very, you know, crucial moment in its history at this point because we have unleashed the expectations and aspirations of, you know, 1 billion people. We already have gotten a foretaste or taste, I would say, of what it means to live in a free market economy. And the expectations have risen a lot, not only in the urban areas, but including the rural areas. And interestingly, these people may have been poor for a long time since independence, in 47. But since 1991, when the economy started being liberalized, their aspiration level has gone up. So I think they are now becoming more self-conscious of the fact that there's a big gap between the income level and the aspiration level, and they expect the government to help bridge that gap.
At street level, though, the talk of rocket-fueled growth doesn't mean much to the small suppliers who are still feeling the impact of recession and slow recovery.
I'm Tarun Gupta. I'm into automobile business, selling spare parts. Yeah, there is a slump in the market, no doubt. And people are postponing the repairs. Plus, they are postponing the battery change and all. So it does affect us for a short term this time. Few shuffling of staff is there. And this is how we are trying to manage our...
That governments have to act to stimulate demand through fiscal and monetary policies.
Prime Minister Manmohan Singh is the man credited with the turnaround of the Indian economy, a man who's often been criticized for his high-minded, almost intellectual approach.
I think it's an impressive legacy, very important period in Indian history, which has a Cambridge connection, of course, because he studied here. And I think for someone like me, as an academic, it's very interesting to have someone like him be the Prime Minister, someone who is essentially an academic, although not an ivory tower one, someone who was deeply engaged with the Indian Central Bank, the Reserve Bank of India, and deeply engaged with policy. And I think it's fitting and fortunate that India has had him as Prime Minister.
Much of the growth in India in recent years has come from the IT area. But the reality is that that sector will employ only between 8 and 10 million people in the next 10 years. With 14 million young people joining the Indian workforce every year, Navi Raju believes it's time to look elsewhere.
Clearly what we need is development of a new industry, namely the manufacturing sector, to basically absorb these, you know, young people entering the workforce. And interestingly, the manufacturing sector only works if you have good infrastructure. It's a chicken-egg situation, right? So you also have to think about how can we stimulate the industrial sector by also developing infrastructure so that, you know, it allows for, industrial development. But it's not just about infrastructure. It's not about the physical infrastructure. It's also about what I call the human infrastructure. Because in order for you to attract, let's say, for example, in this recessionary period, I do believe that a lot of manufacturers in the West may be tempted to move some of their, you know, industrial activities to India. And India is quite talented. But India is talented in the sense that it has a raw talent, but it's like a rough diamond that needs to be polished. And we are seeing, therefore, that companies like Nokia, for example, in India, or companies like SAP, just to pick two companies, these companies are doing an amazing job in basically bringing value not only to the customers, but also with the communities within which they operate. So they are coming up with some amazing business models that allow local communities to become an integral part of the value chains. And in the process, they are creating more jobs in those communities. They're improving the self-confidence of the members of the communities. So in addition to Indian companies, we should also think about also welcoming the multinationals in India. And that is, I guess, my recommendation to the next government, is that they remove the barriers for foreign investors to come to India.
The key to maintaining growth in the Indian economy, though, is innovation. Taking new ideas and making them commercially viable, finding new services or new ways of manufacturing or organizing business. And the Indian economy is full of inefficiencies that can be improved, says Jadeep Prabhu.
There are conditions of extreme scarcity that India faces. And India's innovation is a response to that scarcity, necessity being the mother of invention. So Indians respond to that. There's a very flexible mindset. And combined with the fact that India is a relatively free but very diverse society, you see a lot of experiments now. And often these are grassroots experiments. These are individual entrepreneurs coming up with new solutions to problems that many people face in the Indian context.
Traditionally, perhaps, in more conservative societies, innovation has been something which sort of, in a dirty way, emerges somehow. I mean, is there a way of teaching it within organizations?
That's a very good question. I mean, I don't think that you can ordain that innovation happens. There's a cartoon that I often use where there's a person in a white coat saying to someone else in a white coat, hurry up and innovate, the boss is coming. You know, it doesn't happen that way. It happens through individual employees who are enterprising and creative, coming up with ideas, and then some system or set of processes within the organization that can select those ideas and push them forward towards the market. So I think innovation actually requires balancing some paradoxes, in a way. The paradox of chaos and organization. The paradox of thinking about the present but also the future. Current successes but future gambles.
The growth of an aspirational middle class has also had an impact on the economy and will continue to. It's already leading to an increase in lifestyle retailing. Delhi store manager Mikhail Sen.
I think India really needs to gear up. And if you really look at organized retail, there are only 2,000 stores of home lifestyle across the country. You're largely the unorganized sector that is playing in this market, whereby if you really look at traditionally, you'll find that India has largely been a sourcing destination of the world. So it's really an ironical statement or an irony of sorts where you're able to cater to the world, but you're not able to cater to your own country.
International companies are increasingly attracted to the subcontinent to set up research and development structures.
For decades, R&D was done close to home. And yet, in the last 10 years or so, we've found that this has changed, and it's changed quite dramatically, and that particularly India and China have become very attractive destinations for the largest companies in the world to set up quite cutting-edge R&D facilities. For instance, GE has the largest R&D facility outside the US based in Bangalore, named after Jack Welch. But increasingly, you find other sectors, sectors like pharmaceuticals, for instance. GSK is setting up an end-to-end R&D center in Shanghai to look at central nervous system diseases. So we find this increasingly the case.
But there's a note of caution from some observers. There are strains within the Indian economy which could well destabilize things later on. The lack of infrastructure, the sheer pressure of having such a bulging youthful population, and the disparity between rural and urban growth could all cause shocks in the years to come. Navi Raju again.
India is still a very young country. Half the population is below 25. And therefore, it could actually turn to the disadvantage as a country if this young population isn't provided the right opportunities to achieve the dreams. Because they can see the dreams on TV. They can see the dreams in, you know, big cities. Rather than trying to encourage the rural exodus towards big cities, I think we should try to create economic opportunities within the villages themselves. And these could be basically, small-scale industries, for example, but also about how do you connect the hinterland into the global supply chain. If their energy is unleashed the proper way, I think that we can see actually rapid growth in India, because it's not just the urban economy which will catching up, but also the rural economy.
David Prest was talking to Jardeep Prabhu and Navi Raju of Judge Business School. You've been listening to a podcast from the University of Cambridge.